Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you today. Lord, we are reminded today of the finished work of the cross. And as we receive communion today, Lord, we thank you that we obey your command to remember you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, the title of our message is In Remembrance of Me. And I'm going to begin reading in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. And he had a revelation from the Lord, and this is what he said. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus has asked all of us to participate in this meal of remembrance. I'm sure these words probably sounded foreign to the Corinthians because they had never met Jesus. So how do you remember someone that you've never met or you've never seen? The Christians there had only heard of him. Jesus never made it to the Corinthian church. So what did Jesus mean by in remembrance of me? In chapter 11, Paul is addressing the problem of table fellowship. He tells the Corinthians of a revelation that he had from Jesus. Remember, he said, Jesus said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. So we're going to take a look this morning at the symbols of the bread and the body and the blood and the wine. And what does this mean in the scripture? First of all, let's go back to the context of where Jesus first said these words. And it was at Passover. Jesus was celebrating the Passover feast with his disciples. And in a nutshell, Passover was a meal which was commemorated the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt. And every type of food that was set on the table was symbolic, especially the roasted lamb. It reminded them of the lamb's blood that was smeared on the doorposts so that the Hebrews would be safe and the death angel would pass over them and enter only into the homes of the Egyptians. So Jesus was sharing a Passover meal with his disciples. And this Passover meal was a ritual. The children would ask the father certain questions, and he would answer their questions by telling them about how God delivered them from Egypt and led them to the promised land. The meal reminded them of God's salvation. So putting that in context, when Jesus began talking about the bread being his body and the wine being his blood, the disciples knew Jesus was giving them a new meaning to the Passover meal. Two symbols of the Holy Communion, the bread and the wine. Just before Moses died, he delivered a series of messages that we have in the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to look at Deuteronomy 8:3. And the scripture says, God humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus used this passage in Matthew 4:4 When he was tempted in the wilderness, he quoted the last phrase of this verse to resist the devil. Jesus hadn't eaten in 40 days, and he was hungry. Would you be hungry after 40 days? Sure we would be. And he was hungry. Yet Jesus knew bread feeds our physical body, and God's word feeds our soul. Doctors and psychologists are validating what Jesus and Moses knew thousands of years ago, that the health of our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions affects the health of our body. So every time you eat bread, you are to remember to feed your soul on God's word, on the Bible. So we remember God supplies all of our needs, including food. And we remember God's miraculous provision. And we remember that God's word is more important than bread. Bread is a basic nourishment for life and can represent food in general. And at the Passover meal, Jesus equated the bread with his body. First of all, eating someone's flesh is a repulsive thought to anyone, even when you consider it symbolically. So what was Jesus saying? Well, let's look at this. In John 1:1, the scripture says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." So the Word of God, Jesus Christ, became flesh and blood so that we could know him and experience him. The Word of God became human so that God could give himself for us. There's a great mystery here. No one fully understands everything Jesus meant by his startling words. Even though they didn't understand, the disciples obeyed him and they ate the bread. So when we eat the bread, we're reminded of the life and teachings of Jesus. We remember the example that he lived. He showed us how to live in a relationship with Father God. We remember the miracles that he performed, the blind who received their sight, the storms that were calmed, and the deaf that were able to hear, and the lame who leaped for joy. When I eat the bread at the fellowship table, at communion table, I think about all that Jesus has done for me personally. Thank you, Jesus. The blood, the cup of wine, is the other symbolic symbol of Passover meal. The wine reminded the Israelites of two things. The blood was shed every year to atone for their sins, and the blood of the lamb that saved them from the death in Egypt. Once again, Jesus made a startling statement. He equated the wine with his blood. He told them that his blood would seal a new covenant between God and his people. Then he told them to drink it. Again, there's more to this than anyone can really understand. But we do know that Jesus promised us forgiveness for our sins through his blood. When we trust in his work of salvation instead of ours, we're cleansed from the guilt and the power of sin. Just a few more scriptures and we're going to get ready to receive communion. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I'm beginning with verse 1 and reading through 5. And it says, "The law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers who have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins." But as we read on, it says, "But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Hebrews 9:22 tells us, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So when we drink this juice, we remember that Jesus has already paid a debt that we could never pay. God required a perfect sacrifice. That is why Jesus Christ came into the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was perfect. God's Word is perfect. We remember that God loved us so much that He allowed His Son to die in our place. And when we drink this juice, we remember that Jesus literally shed His blood so that we could live. That is the reason we gather at the Lord's table, to partake of the bread, which is His body that was broken for us. And we partake of the wine, the juice, which symbolizes His blood that was shed for us. And Jesus commanded us to do this in remembrance of Him. And so today, we welcome everyone to the Lord's table. And if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to receive communion with us. At River of Life, we enjoy receiving communion together as a family. And parents, I leave it up to you to make the decision as to whether or not your children receive communion. So let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we have confessed our sins before You. Now hear our private prayers of confession. We are preparing to come to Your table today. And we thank You for Your invitation. We thank You, Lord, that You lead us to the cross once again today. We come to this table remembering Your works of salvation in our lives. And we thank You that You saved us from sin and death. We thank You that You have healed our diseases. You have healed our emotions. You've restored broken relationships. You've saved our sons and our daughters. You have brought us together to worship You and to thank You for all You've done. Thank You for inviting us to Your table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.